Judith Collins, leader of the National Party, joins us for a Kōrero today. Judith, te lakwe.
Oh, kia ora.
Kia ora, it's good to catch up with you. Thanks for joining us. Guns and cops, it's a pretty contentious issue. And then we've got the gang scene as well, which has hit the spotlight. The Minister for the Police says we're not going to arm our police, even though there is mayhem on the streets, many would say. What do you make of this, Judith Collins?
Well, there's two issues there, Dale, and one of those is the armed response teams, which is what the police were trialling, and the new commissioner and new minister want to get rid of those. They were actually having some very highly trained police officers using or having firearms, and they never actually had to draw them once because I think the mere presence of them seemed to do the trick when it came to behaviour. But in terms of general arming, the public has generally said that they didn't want to have that. But I actually think it's starting to, you know, the refusal to keep the armed response teams has meant that it's put general arming more in people's minds now. So I think the what we've got at the moment is we've got a massive health and safety issue for the police, and we've got a problem where the minister doesn't seem to realise that a whole lot of police, particularly in the counties Manukau area, are both Māori or the Pacific Island, and actually their lives matter, just as all the other police officers' lives matter.
Could we find some balance? It was pretty intimidating, those big SWAT-type black vehicles with all the heavily vested men looking like they were from the Armed Defenders Squad cruising the streets, intimidating for communities as well. And while I accept that many in the uniform will be Māori or Pacifica cops, it just didn't seem to marry up at the time. How might we mitigate that?
Well, we could have them painted white or pink or blue, but ultimately we're dealing at the moment with, not just at the moment, but we're dealing, and police are dealing with a situation where we have a massive increase, a 50% increase in the number of patched gang members. We have a proliferation of unauthorised and illegal firearms on the streets, and we're having people being shot. Some of those people being shot are gang members. Some of them may well be just innocent members of the public, more likely connected in some way to the activities of the gang. But then you have police officers as well being shot. So I know who I'd rather have cruising those streets, patched gang members with firearms or police officers with firearms. And if it's the response team, the armed response team, they have to be heavily trained. That's the difference between just general arming and having specialist units. If we want to continue a lifestyle where we expect the police to not be generally armed, then we need to think very carefully about how we have the mechanisms available and the ability to actually have police when they're needed. It's pretty clear police officers get shot at routine traffic stops. We haven't had one person, member of the public, shot by the police in the armed response teams. They haven't even had to draw their weapons.
One of your political opponents says that National ACT are playing ping pong over who will be tougher on gangs, but neither are putting forward credible solutions with dealing with generations of disadvantage. And let's face it, it's part of the reason that guys end up in gangs. What might you say to that sort of criticism?
Actually, mostly people seem to end up in gangs because their entire families are in gangs. If your whānau is the mongrel mob gang, then you are most likely going to end up being part of the mongrel mob. That is what happens. You know, I don't buy into this absolute excuse for the sort of behaviours, whether people are in gangs or not. It's the behaviours that we find that are, you know, basically anti everyone else. They're simply not something we can accept. I'm not worrying about what other parties are doing and saying. What I know is that when we were in government, we were very strong on methamphetamine and we were very strong on crime, and we ended up having to actually, we actually ended up with violent crime decreasing under this aesthetically soft on crime government. We're getting violent crime increasing, not decreasing. And we're getting methamphetamine now right through society in areas that just staggers me where it is. And this is coming from the gangs. They import it, they distribute it. And the people most likely to be disadvantaged from gangs are people who end up having to live in the same streets or somewhere near them, or actually even go to work in places where they are. That is far more likely to be a disadvantage. So when people say, oh, it's a race thing, no, it's not. Lots of gangs and members are not either Māori or Pacifica. Actually, a lot of gang members are not at all. But the other thing is that the people most severely disadvantaged by them are the people who can't get away from them. You look at some of the worst child abuse statistics, they come out of gangs. You just look at what children grow up in. They grow up in gangs, and there's not a life for a child.
Thanks for that kōrero, Judith. Can we chat for a moment about accusations of cyber hacking levelled at Beijing? And I spoke yesterday with one of our prominent Māori international trade advocates, Chris Karamiensley. I'm not sure that you know of him. He says that our country's condemnation of the Chinese hackers should be a spur for efforts to open up other markets. When you poke the taniwha, you might get unintended results. There could be some trade implications here, or do you think we're heading down the right path by calling them out?
Well, I think both of those statements are true. One is that we could expect some form of kickback, as in kick to us, and that may well be around trade, most likely around trade. We may find that some of our products end up on the wharves in China, or not even getting to the wharves. We may find all those things happening. That's what's happened to other countries, and it's not entirely unknown to us here. But ultimately, New Zealand has to be more resilient in our trade relationships, which means we need to have more trading partners of a significant scale. So at the moment, China is worth 30% of our exports. That is a huge chunk of our exports, and they're the very highly paid parts, such as dairy, kiwi fruit, and some of the other ones, logs, and they pay a lot more than some others might, and as in terms that they set the price, the worldwide price, because they're such a big buyer. So we have to understand that nothing is free, and we need to, freedom itself is not free, and we need to be able to be prepared for that.
Thanks, Judith. It seems you're the only politician not in Rarotonga.
Ah, in Rarotonga, yes. I notice half the parliament is in Rarotonga. I thought I'd stay here and go on holiday in New Zealand, which I did. I'm back at work.
Good on you. Where did you go to? Where did you enjoy
our
beautiful land?
In the high country, the South Island, stayed with some friends.
Couple. It's good catching up with you again. Thanks very much for phoning through,
Dale.
Judith.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. See ya. Radio Waitea Urban, Māori Radio, and you know that. That's the National Party leader, Judith Collins.